Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Oh, man, fun show so far, even though the overnight storms have made commute a bit of a rough one this morning. Hope you've enjoyed Sam Mays early. Oklahoma State, former offensive lineman, All-American, doing radio up in Oklahoma City and Tulsa. He was great previewing Texas and Oklahoma State. Also, candid thoughts on the Spencer Rattler-Caleb Williams debate in Norman today. That was fun. Also, Chris Beard coming up. Hopefully, a conversation with Ricky Williams. We'll also let you hear from Bill Belichick as the Cowboys prepare for the Patriots on Sunday. Cowboys a heavy favorite on the road in New England. Bill Belichick knows why. He has a very high opinion of this Cowboys roster and those that built it. We'll let you hear that coming up. And also coming off the blitz, talking reality shows or shows, your guilty pleasure TV shows. This one says Restoring Galveston is my favorite. Love seeing my hometown get a makeover. Yeah, that's a couple. They got all the color. I think I won a Mississippi.
Yeah, that's the big dude and the little lady.
Yeah, they're like
the wife.
Yeah, they're like in Mississippi.
Yeah. They went to some towns there and fixed up everything. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and then Restoring Galveston is a popular one with my wife.
Nobody's better than Chip and JoJo, though. Well, once they get it cranked, brother, they're the best.
I don't think they were the first, but they were certainly the biggest. Because I remember way back, I mean, this is not like some new thing for my wife. There used to be a show called Trading Spaces that we used to
when
we had kids. She liked to watch that. Like neighbors would trade houses for a couple days.
And what was the one with the trailer? They would send a trailer to help out a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, that was Ty Pennington.
Get out of the bus and go help
move
folks.
Move that bus.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they came to Austin that where they rebuilt the house. Yeah, they're but the Trading Spaces always used to drive me crazy because I'd be like, honey, like you should never do a project like that on a deadline. I mean, you want to do it right. I mean,
yeah, like me, you got a project, you have a time limit for next year.
You don't put a 1 day time limit when you're trying to rebuild an entire room or something. That's take your time, do it right, do it right.
You mean like the bull up on top of the hill?
Put a clock on it. Like it should never be the case. You cut corners.
I got you.
And get cheap product.
Not me. I don't do that kind of work anyway. I just call my dude.
Call your dude.
Yeah.
Your friend?
My friend, my buddy, to do those things. I want to do it right. I don't want to screw stuff up. You know what I mean?
Buck ons and buck offs this morning. I gave a buck on to the OU student newspaper who broke the story yesterday. How about these two reporters at the Oklahoma Daily, the OU Daily? What are their names? Austin Curtwright and Mason Young. They climbed found a building on campus, an old public building, public mm-hmm. place, no trespassing, where they could get a high vantage point and they could actually watch Oklahoma practice yesterday with binoculars. And their reporting was that Caleb Williams, the freshman, was getting a high majority of the first team reps. Spencer Rattler practiced but was getting second team reps. And that infuriated Lincoln Riley, who has shut down all media availabilities for the rest of the week in Norman. No more talking.
Couple wild and crazy kids, right?
Doing good reporting.
Up on buildings.
Hey, your audience wants to, your readers want to know that. And unless you do anything illegal.
No.
But they did piss off the coach.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they're mad at the journalism department. What are you guys teaching them? Well, get the story.
Get the story right.
Fans want to know.
Stay up there with your binoculars.
Fans want to know, but that was their report. And they also talked to Spencer Rattler's father, who went helicopter dad and talked about we and NFL draft and blah, blah, blah. Not a fan of that, but it does look like Caleb Williams will be the starting quarterback. We also had a texter who goes to Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
who's on the campus there, who listens to this show on the app because he's, a Texans fan. I don't know. But the student confirmed that, yes, the students on campus do not like Spencer Rattler.
Dude, it takes a lot for the students to dislike you. They don't even really know you that well. What do you? You must have your head up in the clouds. If you're walking around campus and somebody says hello to you and you give them the old Heisman, speaking of Heisman guys, where is that guy?
According to that texter and then students we talked to up in Dallas this weekend, it's all about Spencer. It's all about Spencer. He's Mr. Big Time. Mr. Big Time. Well, you got to be on the field if you're going to be an NFL draft pick, I promise you. But, and you got to be a leader.
Yeah, you got to be a leader. You got to have guys that want to follow you. I mean, his teammates say all the right things about him, but that's what most teammates will do. So we'll see.
We'll see. They play TCU this week.
Well, I don't think he's going to start. I don't think you have any choice for to start the other guy. I mean, you'd seem kind of foolish to put Spencer Rattler back as your quarterback.
Yeah, you might lose the team.
Yes.
Because I think the team saw the results and saw a player that they wanted to play for. And it's amazing. And Sam Mays, enlightened us on this, talking about apparently there was a Netflix series that Spencer mm-hmm. was in.
Zay saw that.
Zay, did you see that QB1? And this is where your dislike of Spencer Rattler came. There's a Netflix show called QB1, and apparently he doesn't come off well in that series. Is that accurate, Zay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He just dogging his teammates who are clearly aren't Division One level at all, telling them how they can't catch and he needs to quit throwing to them. Maybe he quit throwing to them, they get better and stuff. And his teammates, they fire back at him like, yo, you're the best player on the team. You shouldn't be talking to us like that.
Yeah, and all the way down to guy like Trent Dilfer's scouting report on both of these Oklahoma quarterbacks. Trent has a high opinion of Caleb Williams and how he operates and not so much of Spencer Rattler. So we're learning that, but they still beat the Longhorns. How did that happen? Longhorns let it get away with that mess going on there.
Well, maybe he's the two-point guy. Maybe that's what they have him for now. You know?
It'll be interesting.
I'm
just reading the tea leaves here, and even the comments of his father talking about, you know, we still want to play for the national championship, and then we'll see what our NFL options are after that. Look, if he's not starting this week.
Oh, no, if he's not starting this week, he's not starting any longer.
And I don't know that – I don't feel like he's the kind of guy that's going to sit around and wait as the backup. And be the dependable backup, waiting to play, waiting his turn.
He'll either transfer somewhere or he'll try to get in the NFL.
Yeah, he's going to have to be on the field to get drafted. You got to perform to get in the national
football. What do you
mean?
You don't think they would draft Spencer Rattler even if things happen? Well, that you're not the general manager. I'm just saying, if fourth or fifth round, you wouldn't take a chance on that guy as a quarterback?
Well, you're not getting drafted high there. You're not maximizing draft.
He's killing himself when it comes to that part.
Right.
But he would still get drafted if he left and went to the draft. He would get drafted somewhere. Somebody would take that chance on quarterback.
Yeah. Or, you know. But
or
again,
they look at him and say, why aren't you? What kind of leader are you? I mean.
Yeah, but if this is your scouting report, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, the scouting report's not good.
I don't want a part of them.
No, the scouting report. Well, people have taken. I mean, we're talking about the NFL here. We're not talking about the choir.
Well, look, the NFL drafted Joe Mixon high. Right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
This is different. This is your quarterback who no one likes. He repels people.
And that's the part you said about that's the position that you just you don't get a jerk to be your quarterback that often.
Because you got to get people to play for you and with you and alongside you and rally alongside and want to. And that's what you saw with Caleb Williams coming in the game. It was like a whole different breath of fresh air for them. Texas also made a change, and Casey Thompson is now the quarterback, and we're seeing good results there. Buck, by the way, that reminds me of one of my guilty pleasure movies,
ooh.
Draft Day. Remember Draft Day with Kevin Costner and the Cleveland Browns?
Hey,
young guy, how many people came to your birthday party? Remember the Wisconsin quarterback who was supposed to be the number one pick, and they uncover, hey, the scout calls Kevin Costner and says, hey, nobody came to his birthday party.
Boy, you know what? Speaking of...
nobody likes him.
Speaking of movies that you like, boy, I took a beating from Trey Allen III yesterday when I told him one of my movies that I'll stop and watch as it's going to play is a movie called Blend It with Adam Sandler.
Ugh.
I think it's really very... Why are you shaking your head, too, in there? Have you seen the movie?
I mean, Adam Sandler after 2010, it's hit or miss.
I'm not an Adam Sandler fan of his films.
Yeah, I just kind of like it. It's got some really cute parts. It's got some funny stuff in it.
You won't watch Shawshank Redemption, but you'll watch Blended.
On numerous occasions.
Come on, man. We got to get you on the Shawshank train.
Good time Charlie over here. I don't want to hear guys getting shanked in prison. Come on, man.
There's no shanking. Well, there was a rape. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no shank. There's no shanking in prison, right? Hey, by the way, the our guy at LSU there, coach, is I know he's going to get that LSU job because it's going
to
be gone week.
I forgot to listen to the coach's show last night at Orgeron. I promised I wouldn't. I didn't.
I fell asleep.
Come on, man.
Dave Aranda could get that. Would Dave Aranda leave Baylor to go back there?
Yes.
Would Dave Aranda, let me ask you this again. Would Dave Aranda leave Baylor?
But is Dave Aranda an accomplished enough coach to, would LSU want to go there?
Depending on how they go this year, remainder of the year.
We'll see. That job does look like it's
coming open.
It's coming quick.
Yeah.
Coming to an end quickly for Ed O. All right, real quick, while we wait to hear from Ricky Williams on Global Ricky Time now, officially in the 9
officially.
O'clock hour. Wanted to play this, though. I had read this transcript of this. Bill Belichick, he's your head coach of your New England Patriots, playing the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. And here's how he opened his press conference yesterday, talking about watching the Cowboys on film and how impressed he is with the star.
It's a really good offensive line. Got some of the top players in the league, and that's after losing Frederick, with his injury situation. Obviously, the skill players are good. Pollard leads the league in yards per carry, and Zeke, and Dak, and got a couple of great receivers. But all that being said, Schultz is really the leading receiver, which is pretty remarkable considering the guys that Prescott's throwing to. Defensively, the front's impressive. A lot of speed at linebacker. They can cover, they can rush, they can play the run. Between Lamb and Pollard, the return game is good. Obviously, Coach Fossil phones is one of the top special teams coaches in the league, so that's always a dangerous situation between him and the players and Zuerlein's field goal range. I mean, feel like you could kick them, as soon as they cross midfield. They're in field goal range, so he's a big weapon too. And good mix of young players and guys kind of in their prime, and some veteran players, some guys they've acquired, added to their team, and guys like Kizzy and guys like that. And then there's other guys that obviously are big draft choices, and some of their core players. So just overall very impressive level of talent, and offensively, Coach McCarthy.
Here we go.
My grits are getting cold.
Stop. Please. We got Bill Belichick talking good about the Cowboys, but man, is that hard to listen to.
My grits just got so cold just now listening to that dude.
So I said I read the transcript, and it sounded a lot better when I read it.
I'm excited. He sounded very excited about the Cowboys.
Well, he started out by talking about their scouting department and how since 08 they've probably done the best job of acquiring talent. They've got like 500 years of experience on their...
Somebody said next time, just read the transcript.
Yeah, I probably should have. I will get the transcript. I'll just read it for you and try to put a little bit more excitement. How about you?
He's a little different than Bebe.
Hey, Bebe.
When Bebe starts talking.
How about covering that team? I mean, they've had a lot of success, but you got to go to those press conferences week by week.
Oh, I'd lie about being there. It wouldn't take much to say you went and you really didn't go. I mean, it's the same thing. Except for that one, that sounded excited to me. He's very excited about it. He's just trying to set them up. But he really can't stop them. He doesn't have anything to stop them with now.
Yeah, well, that's his trademark, is stopping your best thing. But what are they best at? I mean, that's the problem. Plus, they have the highest graded and most efficient offensive line in pro football.
And they can't cheat enough to stop the Cowboys. They just can't.
Well, what needs to happen is Dak has to have a poor game. I mean, that has not happened. The way you're going to beat the Cowboys is to stuff the run as much as possible with Zeke and Pollard, and then Dak just has to be off.
Or the next head coach of the Raiders, Kellen Moore, has to screw up.
We have not seen Dak Prescott play to this level. I keep talking about the accuracy on his deep balls. I mean, he puts balls in spots these days.
It's no doubt.
That are just, God, that's a good throw. God, that's a good throw.
And the kid from San Diego are the best throwers of the long out route.
Yeah.
Leaving it to the sideline. There isn't football right now.
Well, I mean, every time a ball goes up to CD down the sidelines or to Amari Cooper, I mean, he's throwing it to the front pylon, right? I mean, that's the target when you're going throwing those deep down the sidelines balls, hit the front pylon. He drops it on that. It was almost like if it didn't hit the guy's hands, it would hit the pylon. And he just keeps throwing these balls over and over. And how many times in a game do you see a guy break free and the guy throws it out of bounds or just throws it short or throws long?
No, he's been great.
Oh, man, he's throwing it right into the hands. He's playing at such a good level, and that makes them unstoppable because they are running the ball like crazy, and Pollard and Zeke are playing great, and the line's playing well. Then the weapons, and as long as the only way you're going to beat them right now is if Dak,
Dak makes mistakes, right?
Yeah, maybe the weather,
or they cough the ball up, or whatever. Yeah, I think with Micah Parsons, I think once he starts getting used to, okay, I'm that inside linebacker, they're really going to be really good on defense. Don't throw it near Diggs. That guy's going to get a pick tonight. That guy's going to get picked this weekend or two.
Yeah.
He just is. Young
he
quarterback.
He does it every week. At some point, it's got to stop. Some point, you pick on somebody else.
That's true. When do you stop?
Yeah. I mean, golly. I mean, Sam Darnold twice in the Carolina game trying to, like, what are you doing?
And he almost had a third.
I know. Would you stop throwing over there? I know that's your best receiver, but go somewhere else. Find another dude. Now, Christian McCaffrey not playing. By the way, Chuba Hubbard had a good game for them last week.
He did.
The loss with stepping in and stepping up. So we'll keep an eye on that. But, yeah, Cowboys-Patriots. We've got the Longhorns at 11 on Saturday, part of a, what do we call this, a C-level day of college football? I mean, what's the best game outside of Texas-Oklahoma State?
I like it's Oklahoma. Oklahoma-TCU is a good one. Now, TCU may...
I'm talking about like a national, big national game. Like people are watching Oklahoma to see what this quarterback thinks it looks like. And, you know, TCU is coming off a big win over Texas Tech, and they've got some good players. But, by the way, Max Duggan, he's banged up. And so is Zach Evans. Both guys have had some issues this week in practice as far as injuries go, coming off the Tech game.
Hello.
I'll get you an update on that, Mr. Info. I'll also, but the best national game is supposed to be Kentucky-Georgia, and that line is like, 24 points for the Bulldogs.
Zach Evans have too many carries last week against Tech?
Yeah, well, you never know. You really can't play Bill Belichick talking. We all fall asleep and drive off the road. We won't do that again. Certainly not a minute and a half.
Wow, that was great, Zay.
This says Blended Buck. Is Terry Crews in that film?
That's Terry Crews, yes. He's funny.
You like watching Terry Crews and Adam Sandler.
I think it's a cute movie. Sometimes cute movies are good. There's a couple people that have said their family sits there and watches that movie. It's good.
It's about a blended family, obviously. It's not about blending things, right? It's about a family.
No, it's about blended family, yeah. One guy's got all boys.
It's like Blackish.
All girls. It's not. The only black people are when they go to Africa on the trip. there's when your blackness comes in. No, both families, they are two white families. One has all boys, one has all girls. But they got a trip to Africa. Have you not seen it before?
No, never. I don't even think I've ever heard of it.
Drew Barrymore is the woman in it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've never heard of it.
And Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, they must have made like 20 movies together, right?
Well, because Sandler makes his own movies, right? He's got his own movie company. So, and he always casts his wife to be some smoking hot, like Salma Hayek. Like that could ever happen in real life.
We
got
to see his wife. Like, we need to find her because she's probably smoking hot. We say that, but she's probably a hottie.
I'm looking. He's so goofy. But maybe.
It's all right.
But yes, I've not seen that. Have you seen, anybody seen the new Modern Family? Not Modern Family. What's it called? The new Wonder Years?
I've not seen that yet.
The reboot?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to have to check it. I loved the Wonder Years as a kid. I mean, that was the go-to show, with Winnie Cooper and company. Winnie Cooper. But have not seen that yet. So if you have, give us a review. We'll also hit the other Buck Ons and Buck Offs, waiting hopefully on a conversation with Ricky Williams before the end of the program. It's B&E on a Buck Off Thursday, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Dang, Zay, where is that? That's another new one. Zay with the new tunes into the rotation here on B&E on this Thursday. Buck on to that. Yeah, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Buck, with a break, we were talking about TCU Baylor or Oklahoma this week. TCU football starters Max Duggan and Zach Evans, both listed as questionable for the game with Oklahoma. So might want to check on that later in the week, closer to kickoff time with that big one. Oklahoma's dealing with their quarterback debate, and they're dealing with some injuries at TCU. And it certainly is an up-and-down year in the Big 12 where, you know, one week, what do they call it, the transitive property? It's impossible to say, well, I saw this team last week, so this is what they're going to be this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big 12, man, they can look like miserable direct one week, and all of a sudden they turn around and beat the daylights out of somebody. We've seen that from the likes of Baylor and West Virginia.
Boy, West Virginia is looking like they are struggling.
And, you know, then there's Oklahoma State, who rolls in here undefeated to play the Longhorns. And, you know, you know what they are. I mean, this is not one of those secret teams. You know what they're going to be. It's going to be Spencer Sanders running around trying to make plays on offense and handing it to Jaylen Warren, the running back, who is having a really good year. He's a kid, a little 5'8 kid, but as Sam Mays told us, he's 215, 220. He plays bigger than his height, and he'll kind of wear you down. And then, you know, Spencer Sanders, they don't have that go-to wide receiver, but then they're built on their defense this year. They're built on the, you know, top 10 run defense in the country. A lot of veteran players on that side of the ball and a good scheme. And as Sam said, they play really good team defense.
Yeah, and he said he was high on their offensive line, too, with the guy running behind him. So,
well, he said he wasn't sure when the season began, but it's gotten better. Or at least it's impressed him, at least to this point. But, you know, what kind of challenge can Texas present with their front seven, front eight, to try to slow down that run game? Because this is a quarterback in Spencer Sanders who will throw it to you.
For sure. And it's also, and he also talked about Bijan Robinson. He said he can't even explain the dude. That when you start talking about Bijan, it's hard to explain what he's a little bit of. He's a unique kind of player that, you know, we haven't really got to the real crux of watching this guy become a receiver, because there hadn't been a lot of throws, with the exception of him getting in the slot, and all of a sudden he's been doing a lot of stuff just flat out of the backfield, you know?
Yeah, Bijan, but we've seen him in Louisiana games, jumps to mind when he caught that long slant pass. He's cut right. Balls on the swing route. And in the stadium on Saturday, I noticed a couple times where Bijan was running a wheel route. And, boy, if there were a couple of occasions, if Casey had more time.
Was he open on some of those?
Yes. Well, it was just one of those anticipation throws. Like, he was getting the corner on man coverage.
Right.
And if you just throw it up and let him run under it, he's going to outrun because the.
But he had pressure in his face by then?
Yeah, the defensive back still has to turn. There was one that he threw as a little out. I think it was Decade Brewer. And the tight end kind of cleared, and Bijan was running by him. I think if Casey had a little more time, he could have let that go. And there was no one else out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I think you're going to see Sark have to do when you watch the tape of the Oklahoma game. Teams are going to crowd the line. They're not going to play that too high safety look very often
right.
Against Bijan. They're going to try to collapse on him. So if you can get Bijan, but your line then has to hold up. Because if you're going to want to run a wheel route to a running back, it's going to take a little bit. But it's there. And Bijan is going to beat man coverage most of the time. Sark said he's their best route runner, receiver, or running back. But that can be a special play, too, because you can't, when you say you can't let this team take your best player away, that's going to be their focus. And there's no doubt
sure.
Bijan's the best player. They may be able to slow him down on the run game because they're very good there. But then at that point, you've got to pivot and get Bijan going in the passing game.
Well, all you need to do is set off a couple draws with these guys hauling ass up the field. And if they get out of a lane, they'll pay a price for that. And that hadn't been in their repertoire, and why wouldn't you do it? They're not expecting you to run draws. They haven't seen it yet. They're hoping you don't, because they want to haul ass up top, and they want to do it hard. So it's just I just think it's a great time early in the morning. Here's a nice couple draws for you to keep you off my quarterback also, and he doesn't need much. That's what I'm saying. You just get out of your lane on Bijan Robinson and you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, it'll be intriguing. We didn't see almost any of Roschon Johnson last week. I mean, he didn't get a carry.
I mean, there's certain guys that just games just don't suit.
Yeah, well, and that's where if you're going to struggle on the offensive line, I do think, and maybe the first half and into the third quarter, Sark was getting what he wanted out of his front guys. Right, they were protecting. It was working. So don't change. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But when things went awry in the fourth quarter. You know, you would have liked to have seen Roschon Johnson in there to chip, to help out Andre Carrick, to give him a chance to create some plays down the field. So maybe, you know, if that becomes an issue again this week, some two-back sets to get an extra pass protector in there.
Right.
Something, because that thing got ugly in the fourth quarter for Texas last week. And now Carrick is not even – he's the backup now on the depth chart again with Derek Kerstatter kicking back out to right tackle. Insert Tope Amade at guard. So it'll be a new look on that offensive line. So I have to get used to that. So that's another concern, right? You've got new guys, new look up front against a very good front that has not given up a 100-yard rusher this season. You know, how does Sark combat that? Is it more play action early to use the run to set up the pass to set up the run? Strategy.
I think you said it first. I said what you're to open it up. There's nothing wrong with play action. There's nothing wrong with setting up the run with some nice pass plays, because they are going to crowd the line. They are going to come after him. And if you can get people play action pass and get it over the top or, you know, that 20 yards range. You do what you can do to win the football game. And part of that now to me is I think they'll get an early lead. What are they going to do with it? Are they going to sit on it?
That would be huge.
Does the gas stop or does it, what do you, you can't put on the brakes once the gas starts. You got to just keep on going. You got to try to continue to make big plays, you know?
Well, if you, I think if you can make this team chase you, you're in an advantage situation because that takes them out of what they want to be.
True.
Which is run the ball, move the chains, Spencer Sanders running and throwing. If you got to make Spencer Sanders throw it a lot and they have to abandon the run. And again, I think that was the game plan last week against Caleb Williams is, you know, play conservative and let this kid throw some to you, but he just never did. And then they won the 50-50 plays, which crushed you. You can't let that happen again here because Spencer Sanders is a more experienced version of Caleb Williams. I mean, he's been playing a long time, a lot of football.
Yeah, Sark has figured it out. Bijan Robinson is the guy who's going to carry the football. I know everybody, each and every week, somebody's talking about, we'll get Keelan in there and spread him out wide. Sometimes you just don't become part of that rotation. When you got a great running back, it's tough when you got a great one. You want him to get damn near every carry you can get him. And if he's not, you know, you just because you know what can happen on any given run, like the long run. You know, this guy can break it. Roshan's going to get some, but he's not breaking runs like Bijan.
No.
And they just, it's hard to get three running backs those kind of carries that you're looking for. And I know people say, well, spread it out, but there becomes a confidence deal too. Handling the ball with three different guys in big games like that. We'll see. I just think you'll see more runs by Bijan. Even when it gets to be, when they make it stubborn on you, then you start saying, throw it. No, you still got to go to this guy. This guy is your home run hitter. And if he has to carry the ball 25 times on a Saturday morning, even after this game, hell, give it to him 25, 30 times. You play to win the game.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. And as everybody's saying, they think this is going to be a fourth quarter game. With Texas, to me, it's always going to be a fourth quarter game because they don't know how to win. They don't know how to finish fourth
unless
quarters.
Unless they have 70 on the board like Tech.
Right.
And that becomes the question for Texas. And look, I mean, this is a game that the winner will play their style of game, right? I mean, it's one of those, it's like, you know, styles make fights, they talk about in boxing. Mm-hmm. What style does this game become? If it becomes a slugfest and it becomes a low-scoring game, I don't like Texas in that spot because Oklahoma State is used to playing these games. They most points they've given up this year is 23 in any football game in their five victories. Tulsa put 23 on the board. But if Texas can play their game and they're playing in the high 30s or into the 40s.
They have their air of confidence on offense right now.
Yeah, Oklahoma State doesn't play there. Oklahoma State doesn't want to be anywhere near 40 points. They want to be near 20 points on both sides of the ball, and that's just the style they play. Can they create that for Texas in this game? Can they get Texas into one of those? You know, they'd much rather it be, what was the final score of the TCU game? 32.
That's what they want.
32-28, 32-27 was the TCU game. That's kind of where they want it. They'd rather be even lower than that here in Austin. And that's where can Texas create that. I do not believe, I know we all just watched it, that Oklahoma come back from 21 down and 18 down. If Texas gets a three-score lead, I don't think this is an Oklahoma State team built to catch them. Now, they're not nearly as explosive at wide receiver and in the passing game as Oklahoma can be. Oklahoma had not been until we saw them break out against Texas and Marvin Mims have the huge game. But Oklahoma State's just not built that way right now.
And Texas on the defensive line isn't built that way. If this team truly is a run team now and want to get after you, this is the team you do it against. The University of Texas.
Well, that's right.
Is the guys that you do it against. If are they willing and able to stick their faces in there? How are they at the point of attack? So far, they've been pretty soft at the point of attack. And I'm not talking about the mental part. I'm talking about the physical part. You can still always go back to look at the Arkansas and see what Arkansas did to them. I know that was a ways back, but every coach in the world against the Texas defensive line, even before Arkansas, we always talked about it. Every team is going to try to do what first against Texas? Run the. I mean, absolutely try to run and see if they're up to the task.
And that
will they be?
And as Sam Mays told us in the first hour, that this is what Mike Gundy's team has become. I mean, he doesn't mind handing it off. 20, 25, 30 times a game.
Very unusual for him.
They're because he knows what Spencer Sanders is. As a feast or famine quarterback, the more they can run the football, stay ahead of the chains, the fewer opportunities he has to make a mistake. And it also keeps him in good down and distance so he can use his legs to run for first downs.
Yeah, I want to know what the defensive coordinator has in mind this weekend, more so than any position on this football field. Yeah. Even the offensive line. I think we all know where we stand with the offensive line. What does the defensive coordinator, who's ranked 106, number 9 in the Big 12, have in store for us to see at 11 a.m.? A lot of this is going to be on him.
And how do they perform? There's no question. Because, you know, again, there are going to be a lot of secrets here. I know what Mike Gundy and his team want to be, and they what they want to do offensively. Can PK and Texas defense take that away?
Yes.
If they can't, it's going to be a long day. I mean, if
it's
going to
be
in,
four quarters for sure.
If they can come in and be their identity and ground and pound this thing out and keep it in the 20s, then
that will suck.
That will not
especially
be good.
Because I don't know how good this running back is, but if all of a sudden they make him a contender for anything this weekend, that's
a
problem.
He is good. I watched him against Boise. I watched him against Baylor. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's a good running back. He's low to the ground, low center of gravity, run through arms tackles because he's 215 pounds. He's a real good player. Jalen Warren is his name.
Yeah, first and 10 will be important.
Yep. All right, we'll be back. When we do, hey, it's going to be our final segment on a Buck Off Thursday. A couple more lingering Buck Offs to get to. We'll also light it up and hand it off to Light the Tower, get you ready for the rest of the day, rest of a Thursday, and make some picks on the games tonight on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Man, time to dry it out. Hopefully weather cooperates today as that huge line of storms moved through overnight and dropped copious amounts of rain in parts of the listening area. Really, everybody got rained on, but some people a lot worse than others. 9 inches we had reports in Blanco. Nearly 8.8 inches I saw just north of San Marcos, which is flooded, really raised the level of Onion Creek and all the streams down way from there. So keep an eye on that. And I'm looking at the forecast. Looks pretty good. Mostly just cloudy today. It'll be sunny by dinner time tonight, it looks like, with temperatures in the 80s. And beautiful tomorrow. And then that cool front's coming for Saturday that's going to take temperatures. The high temperature on Saturday is going to be 72 degrees. That's the high. The low is, could be 49, 48 degrees.
Oh, I'm hoodied up.
Oh, it's a pullover day.
Yeah, I got that baby
and
on.
And especially if the forecast of breezy, so that'll make it feel a little chillier even with that drier air.
Go get them, special teams.
Go get them. Go get them.
Yes, sir.
We still got to get tomorrow in the books, which is where we'll do our full preview, make all of our picks on all the big games. But we got a big night tonight. Last night there wasn't, outside of the U.S. men's national soccer team, there wasn't much sports on. I did watch a little bit of the preseason basketball and say the ESPN crew put on a Dallas Mavericks-Charlotte game.
Did I see that score like 70?
Dallas won by 70? Like 70 points. I was like, why is
that for real?
What is this doing on television? This was unbelievable. I know the ESPN has a contract.
Wow.
But preseason games on the mothership, when it's a 70-point game with Luka and company, what was up with that, Zay?
Preseason is unwatchable for me.
Yeah, well, for a lot of people, NBA basketball is unwatchable until it gets, past Christmas into the January.
I saw them up by 60. I'm like, really?
Yeah, that was not good. USA, though, did get the victory tonight. Man, this could be one of the better baseball games of the season. I mean, the intensity in that game, I mean, we all know baseball is a six-month grind, but to play that long, to play that well, both teams won 110 ball games this year. Gosh, I mean, that's crazy, and it all comes down to one game. The winner gets to advance. The loser's season is over after a 110-win season. Obviously, the Dodgers are the defending champions. This is going to be a high-pressure baseball game, and it comes down between two rivals, and they're both putting really good pitchers on the mound.
In San Fran, correct?
In San Fran. That place will be electric this evening. Logan Webb goes for the Giants. He's their staff ace. He blanked the Dodgers in game one, but Julio Urias will pitch for the Dodgers. He's a 20-game winner. And they both have wins already in this series. So really like that game tonight. There will be every pitch. People will be hanging on each and every one. Every out matters in that ball game because it's the season on the line for both sides, and both teams feel like if they can win this. Think about that, Buck. The winner feels like they're going to win the World Series, right? I mean, that's how good these teams are. The winner will become immediately the favorite to win the whole thing. The loser, the season's over without even getting out of the DS. I mean, that's how crazy that situation is. But then you've got the NFL game tonight with the Buccaneers and the Eagles. I don't know what to make of this matchup. Part of me thinks this is going to look a lot like the Cowboys game with the Eagles, where the Eagles just stumble bum their way, and Bucks are just too good. But at the same time,
Bucks are struggling in secondary.
Yeah, they are. Can Jalen Hurts, consistently take advantage of that becomes a big question for me. I mean, how good of a passing game do they have in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, they got a little bit better. They're getting better each and every week, but they still depend on him to do an awful lot. That's just the way that's going to go until if he's going to be their guy, they'll surround him by good players. If not, then he'll go the way of, man, he does a lot, but he doesn't win enough games. So they're going to have to figure that part out.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think Jalen Hurts, he can be forced into some mistakes, especially if they continue to put the whole game plan on his shoulders. I don't think that's a wise decision there, but that seems to be what they do. They don't get Miles Sanders involved that much in the game plan. Heck, matter of fact, you know, Jalen Hurts has more rushing yards this year than Miles Sanders does, who's their leading running back. Like, they don't, I mean, okay.
They don't turn around and hand him the ball.
Well, it's like they act like Jalen Hurts is a superstar. Like, he's got to run.
They're going to get him killed back there doing all that stuff.
I mean, he runs it, he throws it, and they don't hand it to the running back very often.
Yeah, once again, this is all on the owner. This is the guy who said, this is going to be our guy. So, and I still believe, I think he's really come a long way as a quarterback, but he's not at that point in his career that he can do all that by himself. He's just not.
And
plus, people, she's still, talent-wise, is he's talented enough to play in the NFL and talented enough to be a starting quarterback, but that guy needs so much help. He just does. And now they think that he's that guy that he can do without a lot of help. It's crazy.
Meanwhile, Tom Brady will turn around and hand it to Leonard Fournette, big Leonard tonight. And then, of course, the receivers with Evans and Godwin and Antonio Brown coming off a huge game against the Miami Dolphins.
And I'm definitely interested in how the Raiders play from this point on. I mean, that's not a team that's 0 and whatever. That's a 3-2 team. Do they pick up the pieces? How fragile are they after what just went on? Or do they just say, okay, now John Gruden's not here, we have to go along? And then can Derek Carr be a leader? He has to be. I mean, Derek Carr had, you know, a personal deal with John Gruden on and off the field. Yeah. So he's got to feel that, man, that guy either you knew about him a little bit, you know the way people are, or you didn't know anything, and he's totally in shock. But he's already said, he goes, you know, now this team is expecting me to be the leader. And I like the way he said that, you know. And, yeah, that's not a scrubby team. They got good players. They were on their way to doing okay, I believe.
Yeah, my only fear was that typically John Gruden loses his teams as the season goes on because he's such a jerk.
Yeah, and John Gruden has two. John Gruden left that team with two guys. One is coming off of, they've got two real live alcoholics that play for him that are studs.
Yeah, that are recovering.
That are recovering alcoholics.
Yeah, Darren Waller and the pass rusher, Max
Right, that
Max
have
Crosby.
Had problems. So now you get this to go along with it. It doesn't take much for those kind of guys to get off kilter. And they probably had a lot of faith in John Gruden, who probably told them a lot of things. This is why we want you here. And then to find out what kind of guy he is, I mean, it doesn't take much for things to go south on you. So Derek Carr, we'll see. Well, It'll be interesting to see how this team picks up the pieces.
Now, if your former college teammate and our good friend Mike Mayock is accurate, you know, because they have good players, and maybe Gruden on that team as they typically get off to good starts and then fade.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gruden's a big part of that because he just wears on a locker room and wears on a team with his, just, you know, the jerk that he is.
He just does, yeah.
Mike Mayock yesterday had a press conference talking about the state of the franchise and where they are, and said he thinks Rich Bisaccia is one of the best leaders he's ever been around. So could you get more positivity? Can Rich Bisaccia come in and light a fire under a pretty talented team? And you don't have to deal with Gruden, and, you know, Greg Olsen becomes the play caller. They still got a good pass rush. I mean, they got a lot of the things that make a team good, right? They got a quarterback that's playing really well. They've got weapons at receiver. They got a go-to guy in Waller. When Josh Jacobs is healthy, the running game's pretty good. But they can rush the passer. I mean, they can rush the passer.
Yes, they can.
And, by the way, part of that deal, you know, Carl Nassib, the only openly gay player in the league, he took a day off this week, wanted to get away from the situation. And he'll be welcomed back. But you're right, Derek Carr said, you know, love the person, hate the sin, is what he said.
For sure.
About this team. So, yeah, you're right.
And don't think I don't love my lottery dream house. That's right. Don't think I don't watch that.
I hate that show.
What?
The weird guy with the tattoos.
With the tattoos.
And all these schleps trying to buy houses after they won the lottery.
The only $1 million winners are in there, and they only want to spend like $12,000. Come on, spend it. Spend it all. Let's go.
I do not like
it. You don't like that? I watch that.
Guilty pleasure shows your wife makes you watch. My Lottery Dream Home is. I won't do that one. Between that one and then the show called
Pimple Poppers?
No, I will not go anywhere near Dr. Pimple Popper or Say Yes to the Dress. That is a no. That's a big no.
I got to see that just to say no to it then.
Say Yes to the Dress, like
yes.
Dress shopping. Ugh. Ugh. Zay, have a good Thursday, man. You'll be doing shirts and skins today, so listen for Zay. He's going to
no
help
nap.
Them. No nap for Zay today. We will be back tomorrow, though. He'll get a nap after because he's got to watch basketball tonight. He's got to watch baseball tonight.
Yeah.
He's got to watch football tonight, as we all do. And we'll be back on a Friday morning, Buck. Have a good Thursday, man.
You too,
friend.
Bud.